Weaving animal advocacy issues with social justice issues is something Rachel McChrystal sees as integral to getting out her organization's message. She's the executive director of the Woodstock Farm Sanctuary in High Falls, and I spoke with her about this and other ways to ensure the sanctuary is as progressive and inclusive as possible.
We, I think, are in the really unique position of introducing people to these animals that we call farmed animals in either the first time for people or in an entirely new space. So even people that have grown up, we're in a rural area, so even people that have grown up here and maybe have been exposed to farmed animals, they've never seen them as individuals, and they've never seen them as beings that are worthy of consideration and compassion. And so what sanctuary work does is we provide a space to see them, just like you would meeting a dog and a cat in a house. Provide a space to meet a pig or a chicken or a turkey in their home and in their own space where they're comfortable. And what we're hoping to do is that you make that connection, and then people will think twice before they eat them or consume their byproducts, or even think about the day-to-day things, decisions that we make every day that impact the very lives of other beings. Once you actually meet a turkey and have a turkey like our oldest girl, Beatrice, who's 8, come up to you and hug you, and you have that connection, you'll never be able to sit down at your Thanksgiving dinner with your family and see the turkey on your plate the same way. It's radical empathy and breaking down that all those walls that are between us and these animals.
Devil's advocate, I do believe there are people who will come here and they eat meat and they enjoy the experience and they're going to go home and eat meat.
Of course, definitely. We do post-tour surveys. And for people that aren't already vegan, which is about a quarter of the people who visit are, you know, trying to expose their family to this way of thinking, or they're really just wanting to spend time with their friends and it's a return visit. But the people that aren't already 100% there, 90% of them say that they're going to either reduce or eliminate animal consumption in their diets. When we used to give these tours, we would talk about cheese a lot, because I'm a white lady, I'm 36. Cheese was literally the last thing I gave up. And so it's very natural for me as the person who's determining a lot of this messaging to think like, oh yeah, cheese, it's really, you know, it's so hard to give up. And not keeping in mind that actually most people on this planet are lactose intolerant. And most other ethnicities actually are lactose intolerant. And so even my talking about cheese and then offering alternatives, most of them are very expensive. So we used to have, as part of our tour script, offering a cheese that I'm not going to name that's fabulous, but it's a nut-based cheese that's like $10 for a little bit of cheese. And that is so very exclusionary if you don't have the money to buy that, or if cheese is not that important to you. So just even analyzing that, how we're presenting this rights movement as a rights movement that everyone can really take part in and that is very expansive versus exclusionary.
So that's really interesting. So what would replace the cheese example then, or what has? And it's not that you still use the cheese, but maybe you intersperse it with the other examples.
So what we've had our folks, our humane educators do is speak more about the animal experience and about what happens to the animals in these systems of oppression and in industrial animal agriculture, and then ask people for any input they personally have about what they are having problems giving up. So that if someone is, you know, instead of just putting our own experience on everybody and saying, well, I really love this. I mean, I had a hard time giving up lox. That's a very unique experience, right? Most people, that's not the thing they're going to think about. So really allowing the space for people to say like, well, this is the food that I eat a lot of. What would you recommend I replace this with? Instead of pushing our own perspective on everybody.
What's new? What is it you want to start doing that you kind of on your list of things to do, if you will?
Yeah. So we're in the Hudson Valley. The Hudson Valley is a very white area, and animal rights has been a very white dominated area. Although veganism is not a white thing. There's lots of cultures where veganism is just how you eat naturally. So what we're trying to do is actually really have Woodstock Sanctuary be representative of different communities. And so what we actually did was we started at our board level by inviting people in our community that are persons of color to actually have board leadership positions. And influence what we're doing in terms of programming and decisions, which influences hiring, which influences our visitors. I mean, just when I look at how the faces of our visitors have changed over the last 4 years, we've become way more diverse, and we're really trying to connect animal rights in with other social justice movements, because that's where we see it. I think it's a little controversial, and it means that I get in way more arguments on the internet than I would like. But we're talking about systems of oppression, and we're talking about beings that are otherized and are being used, and their very bodies are being used under this system of oppression. And so you can make a lot of analogies to other social justice movements. So we've put out some statements about what's happening at our border with immigration and babies being taken away from their mothers. We marched in Pride this year in New York, and we handed out 6,000 flyers featuring Colin and Woody, our two rescued dairy calves, and talking about what happens to them in the dairy industry, really trying to get in front of folks that we think will be like-minded. And really expand veganism and animal rights. We're running a farm sanctuary, period. But if we can't make some basic stands and advocate for other things, we look a little out of touch, especially when there's so much going on around us. And I think it's really easy for people to say then, okay, we'll worry about the cows when we're done with worrying about border issues. You know, even, you know, when we think about the Me Too movement, like even trying to analyze how we show up as a sanctuary in that space too. Like, what is our sexual harassment policies? Are we of, you know, how are we taking care of people, you know, making sure that people are being well taken care of at the sanctuary? Just being able to like try to be as transparent and kind in all of our actions.
Did you write policy, or did you put something in a handbook
or something because of us? We did.
What'd you
we
do? Did.
So we actually we redid our sexual harassment policy completely based on a template from friends of ours at a group called Vegan Outreach that basically covers all gender discrimination, sexual harassment.
Down the road, McChrystal thinks a lot about being financially sustainable and how to foster this.
So we are doing rentals right now for weddings. And we also, when you drove onto the property, you probably saw that we're building a new building. It's going to be an inn. So we can have overnight visitors and people that either are members here or volunteers, or people that are just looking to be tourists in the area can stay at the inn overnight and get a good vegan breakfast in the morning, take a tour of the sanctuary, things like that to try to really bring in other sources of revenue.